Falcons linebacker group. Seems like, obviously, pretty familiar with those guys maybe from last year, but not the biggest group, but seems like still pretty effective against the run. What is it that has allowed them, I think they're top half of the league in terms of defending the run?
Right. Well, you know, Campbell's a pretty good sized guy. I mean, he's, you know, got some length and, you know, runs well. And, you know, Jones is a little smaller in stature, very instinctive, obviously fast, quick, really does a good job of finding the ball, reads things quickly. And, you know, Riley, you know, plays in their three linebacker defense and, you know, it's some of their nickel stuff with Campbell. But Jones pretty much never leaves the field. So, you know, they're a one-gap defense, and so they're always, there's always one more guy than you have, however many you have. They always, you know, add one more in there. So the linebackers, you know, fill their gap, and then they run well on perimeter plays. And, you know, again, defensively, they rely, I think, a lot on their ability to penetrate, to disrupt plays, and have more people than you have. And those guys get to the ball. So it could be, you know, Jarrett, Poe, you know, any of those guys could be disrupting the play, linebackers, but they, you know, they're quick and they're hard to fit up on and just, you know, move out of there. They get off blocks well.
How unique a skill set is that Deion Jones is, that he's able to play all three downs and can cover and rush?
I mean, he was good, you know, good player in college, good athlete, has a good skill set. You know, he fits well in their system. You know, had a couple big plays for him last week, you know, with the interception. They had the other one called back, but, you know, good speed, range, and he's an instinctive player. He knows where the ball is.
Obviously, Desmond Trufant was hurt. So, how much does he change your defense just being a third corner?
Yeah, he definitely helps them. I mean, he's a good, solid player. He can play outside and inside. They mainly play him outside, but he's certainly capable of moving inside with matchups or, sure, if they need him in the slot, he could play in there. But he's quick. He runs well. He's got good ball skills, an experienced player. So he's, you know, he's a good player on that defense.
On the other side of the ball, when they have all the receivers healthy and Sanu's back, is there one of those guys who normally plays like primarily in the slot, or do they?
More Sanu, but they'll move him around.
What does Gabriel give them, I guess?
A lot of explosive plays. You know, he's a good receiver on all three levels, certainly deep. Intermediate routes, and you know, he's had some big plays on slip screens and under routes and things like that. He's a fast, explosive player. If he gets a little bit of space, he can, you know, he can turn in a big play in a hurry. So, but really, all those guys are pretty good in a lot of ways. I mean, they're fast. They can get down the field. They're hard to tackle for one reason or another, whether it's size or quickness or speed. And again, they stretch the defense all the way through. So if you back off them, you know, they get the ball in space, or you get up on them, then they can get over the top. And they're pretty good intermediate route runners, comebacks, in cuts, curls, you know, things like that, timing plays that are featured in this West Coast type of offense.
Mentioned the screen game there with Gabriel. Looks like at least last week they used Jones some of those plays as well. What makes him difficult in those situations? You know, shorter area. We think of him, I think, as like a vertical threat.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, he catches a lot of in cuts, a lot of over routes, out routes. The one he caught against us last year. You know, he's good on catch and run plays. He's hard to tackle. He's strong, slants. So he's pretty good on everything. You know, same thing. So, but I mean, they screened everybody. They screened the backs and the receivers and Gabriel Jones. You know, I mean, they all can get the ball. You can't just think they're just going to screen to one guy and just key on that guy. That's, you know, they mix it up.
When you acquire a player before training camp in the spring by trade or free agency or something versus when you acquire a player either right before the season or mid-season, Do you have to have a longer leash on the player that you acquire so close to the season because you don't have the opportunity to evaluate them in as long of a period during a training camp type situation?
Well, I'd say, look, each situation is different. There's no like book on this. I think the acquisitions that you make at the beginning of the season, in the spring or you know, in the off season, you know, you're looking at roster building. You're looking at players that you feel like would be competitive in a certain position or in a certain role or a combination of roles that would be competitive for your team. You know, and that role might be starter, it might be, you know, as a rotational player, it might be, but whatever that, you know, you're looking for a guy that's going to be competitive in those roles. When you acquire a guy at the beginning of the season or in the season, like, you know, Van Noy or Marsh or, you know, Batamosi or Akeem Ayers or Casillas or Talib or, you know, guys that we've done that with, you know, you're usually acquiring that player to fill a specific role at that time. You know, he's not, like, in competition with eight other guys for something. I mean, the reason you've acquired him is because, you know, A, he's available and it's worked out and all that. But, you know, B, you see a role for that player that you can use. You know, Eric Rowe, whoever it happens to be. And whether it's the first week, the third week, the eighth week, you know, whenever it is, that's different than... you have you have players you lack depth at a certain position, and you sign somebody who's, let's say, you know, out of football to come in and, you know, give you depth at that position. I mean, that's usually a little bit of a different, not saying you couldn't sign a guy for a role, but I'm saying if you trade for a guy, you're definitely giving up something to get somebody to put into a certain position or role, whatever that happens to be. So I'd say that's a little bit of a different... It's different than when you get a guy in March. Now, certainly in March or April, you have a lot more time with that player, but you know your team's not really established at that point either. You're still trying to see how it's all going to play out. Well, in September, October, you have a lot better idea how it's playing out, and if you acquire a player, generally it's to put that player into a role that you feel is necessary and that he can... You know, do. Now, sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes it's less than that. It's not saying it's a perfect, you know, and sometimes it takes time for that. It's like Kyle Van Noy's role this year is a lot different than what it was last year. And it changed over the course of the year. So sometimes it, and, you know, and other things happen too. What you do in at the end of September for one reason, well, by the middle of November, those reasons may not be valid anymore. You might be in a whole different ballgame. That you have to, and then maybe that player fits into that new situation, or maybe he doesn't. Maybe somebody else fits into it. I mean, I don't know. So that's, you know, you can't oversimplify it because each case is different, but that's the best I can do to explain it.
Do you feel like you can take more risks in acquiring a player maybe during the off season because he's going to be competing for a role rather than you just have to shift him into one specific position?
Well, again, I wouldn't use the terms that you use, so I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't really look at it that way. I think, you know, again, when you acquire a player, it doesn't mean that you don't think the player has value. I mean, I think Brandon Cooks has a lot of value. So, but what exactly it is, how exactly he's going to, how it's all going to turn out with him back in April, you know, I don't know. You know, we haven't even run a play yet. So that's what the spring, that's what training camp's for. And maybe it's kind of, well, this is what I envisioned it being, but it turns out to be something different. Like Randy Moss, you know, we got Randy Moss, we kind of, I would say, you know, thought it was going to be one thing. Well, it was a lot more than that. You know, Wes Welker, same thing. We kind of thought it would be one thing, you know, playing the slot, return punts. Well, it turned out to be a lot more than that. Sometimes it turns out to be a little bit less. But that's, you know, you're going to go through that process with the player. When you get a guy in first of October, there's no process. You got to gain that week. I mean, you got to get the guy ready to play a role, Akeem Hicks, you know, and then a month later or 2 months later, his role might be different, you know, and there's possible growth there. So, again, I wouldn't say it's to more or less, or it's just, it's a different timing. You're in a different state. Your team's in a different state. And the player has a different opportunity. A player comes in April, has as much of an opportunity to compete for a role in the team as a guy who's been here for 5 years. I mean, they're going to get the same reps in practice. They're going to be in the same meetings. They're going to go out there and compete on the field. We'll see how it turns out. I don't know. Guy that comes in here, you know, after missing all spring, all training camp, and a few weeks of regular season game plans and adjustments and everything, I mean, there's no way he can compete with that, with players who have been through all that. So, but usually you would bring a guy in if you have a role for him. I mean, otherwise, why would you bring a guy in if you already have two guys that can do this job and you don't really need a third guy to come in and do that? That's, I mean, look, depth is always good to have, but you know what I mean? Realistically, I mean, how many guys do you need in a certain role? There's probably going to be other things on your team that you need more, so.
Last question. Usually when we talk about guys that are hard to tackle, they're the bigger physical guys, but does Gabriel's comparative lack of size also make him a tough guy to bring down?
Yeah, well, he's fast and he's quick. He's a hard guy to get a solid hit on. Yeah, but look, they're all hard to tackle. I mean, Freeman's hard to tackle because of his power and his balance and his, I would say, his vision. Coleman's hard to tackle because he's hard to get to. He's fast and he's elusive. He's got good quickness. Sanu's hard to tackle because he's big and he's strong and he's a hard guy to wrap up. Jones is like that too. Gabriel's quick. He's elusive. You know, Roberts is hard to tackle because he's runs hard and he's fast. And, you know, if you don't get a solid hit on him, he's through the arm tackles. So, you know, guys have different styles. Guys have different ways of breaking tackles, and defensively that's an issue of knowing who you're tackling and how you want to tackle them. I mean, I don't think you want to tackle Freeman the same way you would want to tackle Gabriel. I mean, I just, you know, you still got to make the tackle, and there's, you know, fundamentals involved in terms of leverage and wrapping up and so forth, but like those guys have a lot of different styles, but they're both hard, you know. So that's, look, there's fundamentals to leverage, there's fundamentals to tackling, but you know, different players have different strengths. Some guys are stiff arm players. Some guys drop their shoulders. Some guys are jump cut guys. Some guys are spinners. Some guys are, you know, they challenge your leverage and cut back. Other guys, you know, try to outrun you. I mean, so, you know, you've got to adjust and adapt to what, you know, look, the guy can do whatever he wants to do, so you have to tackle what it is. But, you know, there's certain tendencies of the way guys like to run or carry the ball or, you know, break tackles. And, you know, I think if you know that a guy's a spinner, then you tackle him with a little bit different and a little more awareness than if he's a guy who's, you know, is just going to always drop his shoulder and try to get low and, you know, try to grind out, you know, a few extra yards on contact. I mean, it's just a different running style. I mean, look, the guys that can do them all, they're obviously the hardest ones to tackle that have, you know, multiple pitches they can throw. Then it's hard to hit them. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.